Welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire.
Well, thank you for... I just really want to say thank you on behalf of Ross and I for just welcoming us to your church, or to our church, actually. And we just feel really settled and rested. Well, no, that's rested is not a really good word, but settled already. And so much so, we feel like we've been here for weeks. And I guess we have on, this is our third Sunday, but we really just feel like we've been here for weeks. So thank you for your welcome. It's been really warm and lovely, so thank you for that. Okay, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Luke 7, please. I'm going to get away from the heat that that brings on. Okay, so we're looking at Luke 7 and verses 36 to 50. And I'm going to read today out of the Amplified Version, not so that it takes longer, so I have to say less, but so that it really brings out such the meaning of the words, and it's just awesome. So, one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to dine with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and he reclined at the table. And behold, a woman of the town who was an especially wicked sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of an ointment, which is perfume. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. And she wiped them with her hair, the hair of her head, and kissed his feet affectionately and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would surely know who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a notorious sinner, a social outcast devoted to sin. And Jesus, replying to him, said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, Teacher, say it. A certain lender of money at interest had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. When they had no means of paying, he freely forgave them both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I take it, for whom he forgave and cancelled more. And Jesus said to him, you have decided correctly. Then turning to the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? When I came into your house, you gave me no water for my feet, but she was wet. She has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, from the moment I came in, has not ceased intermittently to kiss my feet and tenderly and caressingly. You did not anoint my head with cheap, ordinary oil, but she has anointed my feet with costly, rare perfume. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, many as they are forgiven her because she has loved much. But he who has forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? But Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go, enter into peace, in freedom from all the distresses that are experienced as a result of sin. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you for your presence here this morning. Lord, it's such a privilege to worship you. It's such a privilege to seek your face, Lord, and to hear your word. Father, I pray that you would just anoint your words today. And Father, that you would give me the ability to communicate your heart correctly. And Father, I pray for open hearts today to receive what you say, Lord God. Thank you. Amen. 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 It's amazing how thirsty you get up here. Okay, let's start by unpacking this scripture a little bit, and then we'll see what we can learn from it. So first of all, in the first part, verse 36, it says that the Pharisee and Jesus reclined at the table. And for Eastern people, they reclined on couches at meals, and they had their feet outward behind them. I couldn't eat like that, but they did. That's how they ate. And when she came in, this lady, she heard the woman who was full of sin, she heard that he was in the house. I love that poster at Lamplu, and it was heard that Jesus was in the house. And you can really feel that there as well. But this woman came into the house, and she was a sinful woman. She was especially wicked, a notorious sinner, the Amplified Version says, a social outcast and devoted to sin. And I was thinking about that this morning and thinking that actually, before I got to know Jesus, I was actually devoted to sin. I wouldn't have said that. And I still don't like saying it. But actually, that's the truth. Your heart isn't for God, therefore it's devoted to sin. And we can see that in verse 38, she's standing behind him at his feet, weeping. So Jesus is laying out, reclining by the table, and she is standing at his feet. And she's just come with such passion and, I don't know, I just feel that she's a sinful woman, and she knows who she is. She's a sinful woman, and she's come full and just wanting to unburden her heart of all the guilt, all the shame, everything that she feels, all that sin that's in her heart. She just wants to unburden it all. And she comes at his feet and she stands there and she just weeps. She's in the presence of the Most Mighty God and she weeps at his feet. Now she comes with an alabaster jar of perfume, and that's a small white marble kind of jar of various shapes and sizes, but on average it holds about a pint of liquid, so about a pint of perfume or nard. And it's precious. It is really precious. And it costs everything. It's really expensive that we hear. We'll see that later. So she's standing at his feet with this jar in her hand. Why is she crying? Because she knew who Jesus was, and because she knew who she was. She was discerning, and I believe she was prophetic, but she was discerning. So what were the tears for then? They were tears of remorse, tears of sadness, tears of guilt, tears of shame, tears of pain, and tears of sorrow. I think we all go through times when we're full like that. And there she was crying, and she washed his feet with her tears, and then she wiped those tears with her hair. And then she anointed him. And she got this jar of perfume that she had in her hand, which was really precious. And it says that it cost the equivalent of a year's wages at that point, 300 days' labour. That's how much it cost. That was everything that she had, the most precious thing that she could think of that she had. And she was about to break it over his feet. She was about to anoint him. And it says that she broke she broke the jar. And I had visions of her just like smashing it. And then it says she poured it out. So she clearly didn't do that because it would go everywhere. So she broke the seal. And the seal was like cement or a real seal on the jar. So not only was this her precious perfume, but she'd never opened it. It was precious. She'd never even opened it, sniffed it. She'd not done any of that. It was pure. So not only was it pure, but it was genuine and it was expensive. What was it? It was all she had. And it was what she had. So why do this? Why was she doing this at Jesus' feet? Well, I believe it's a sign of affection. It was a sign of reverence. She revered him. She realized who Jesus was. She honored him. It was a sign of honor, a sign of respect, a sign of submission, and a sign of obedience. So what was she doing? I believe she was acting out of true humility. She knew who she was, and she was just acting out of true humility, and she was pouring her heart out to the Lord, just letting it all come out. And she was serving her Lord and honouring him. Going down to verse 39, it says that the Pharisee is thinking to himself that, you know, surely if Jesus was a prophet, surely he'd know what kind of woman this is. And Jesus knows our thoughts, and he knew these thoughts. And it says in the Bible, one of my favourite passages, I think, really, where it says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And what's in your heart, if it's full of bitterness, full of envy, full of hatred, that's kind of what's going to come out of your mouth. It's even what thoughts are going to be in your mind. If your heart is full of purity, full of passion, full of compassion, then that is what's going to come out. Full of love, that's what's going to come out of your mouth. And so Jesus knows this, and so he teaches the judgmental Pharisee, the religious ruler, a thing or two about judging others. So he was talking here about the money and how much money and how much you'd forgive someone. And he judged correctly that it was a person that owed the most that would be the most thankful. And then verse 44, then turning to the woman, Jesus says, do you see this woman? And I kind of think, did he say it like that? Or did he say, do you see this woman? Do you really see her? Do you just see the outward appearance? Or do you see her? Do you see her heart? Do you see her passion? Do you see what's inside of her? And it says, you know, it's like you've judged this woman by what you know about her, by what you know about her past, but do you actually see her heart? Do you see or understand what she has done and what she's done right here, right now? And it's like Jesus was saying, Simon, you did not show me the common courtesy of the customary guests, that is customary with guests by washing their feet when they come in. And this is because, in those days, they didn't have nice shoes and socks and tarmac roads. They had really dusty roads and that weren't kept very well. And they didn't have like shoes and socks. They had just like sandals and thongs and bare feet. So their feet would have got really dusty. So when someone came into their house, not only did they open the door with delight, if they had doors, but they opened the door, but they actually welcomed them in and they washed their feet. And that's a sign of servanthood and a sign of humility, really honouring a guest. You're a guest in my house. But this woman tried to make up for what you failed to do. You did not greet me with a kiss of welcome. But this woman who has not ceased to kiss my feet, and you did not anoint my head and refresh me after my long journey of over 21 miles and after my sermon of much work and healing the multitudes of all kinds of diseases. You didn't even refresh my head with cheap oil. Nothing. But this woman freely anointed me with her expensive ointment. Verse 47 says how many sins, her many sins have been forgiven because she loved much and she sacrificed much. And verse 50 talks about the fact that, you know, it was her faith that saved her, and it was the act as well, and in freedom from the distresses that are experienced as a result of sin. And he encouraged her to just go in freedom. So what's God speaking to us through this? I think three things. I think there's lots of things you could draw out of this passage and lots that I haven't touched on. But three things. Firstly, come into God with honour and respect. I remember one lady years ago came to church and she was really dressed up, looked really posh, really lovely. And she testified that the reason she dressed like this was because the Lord said to her, I want you to put your wedding outfit on. So she put her wedding outfit on that she wore for her daughter's wedding. So you can imagine it was really nice and kind of out of place at the church at the time. But she came with this outfit on and she was saying the reason why is because I've come to honour my king. I've come to honour the Lord. If the Queen welcomed you into her gates, Buckingham Palace, would you go in your jeans? don't know, I'm not going to answer that, yeah, Dan says. But actually, you might not be allowed in with your jeans, actually. You might be, your name's not down in those jeans, you're not coming in. But in actual fact, you'd go with dressed up. And really, that's what we should do with God. He's the awesome King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the one that created all those stars in the heaven, all those planets last week. You know, he is just ginormous, massive, unbelievable, unfathomable. And I want to come to him in honour and respect. And also, what God particularly said to me through this is give what you've got. Give to him whatever you've got. If you feel, well, I haven't got a lot of money and I haven't got this and I haven't got that, don't focus on what you haven't got. Focus on what you have got. And give God what you've got. Because at the end of the day, it's actually your heart attitude that he is looking at. It's your heart attitude. And the third thing is to come to him expecting and receiving forgiveness. Forgiveness for everything that you've done in the past, even recently, everything you've done. Healing, to receive healing and to receive restoration. You remember that scripture possibly in 1 Samuel where it talks about man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. How often is it that we walk down the street and we judge people by what we see? Maybe even in here, we judge people by what we see. We're not to do that. God looks at the heart. I'm thankful God looks at the heart. I'm so thankful he looks at the heart. So God sees your heart. And the other thing I want to bring out here as well is a verse that's really been with me this week. It's in Isaiah 42, verse 3, where it says, "A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out." Now that says to me that a reed, or you know, it isn't bruised instantly, it becomes bruised. How many of you have been bruised by life's experiences? I know I have. Bruised by what goes on around you. But it says here in the word that a bruised reed he will not break. So if you're feeling today that you're just feeling bruised, you're feeling bashed around, everyone's just bashing me, and not just everyone, I'm bashing me, you feel like that, that God will not break you. He comes with gentleness. Yes, he's the Lion of Judah. He's the awesome King of Kings. He's a mighty warrior. But he's also the gentle, gentle, gentle Saviour. And a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. Now that says to me that if it's a smouldering, it means it was a light. It means that it was a wick that was on fire, that it was full of vibrancy, full of heat, full of passion, full of zeal. And then maybe through life's experiences, that started to just waft out. And all of a sudden that light goes out and it's just a smouldering wick. But it says, the Lord says, he is not a man that he should lie. He says, a smouldering wick, he will not snuff out. But what he might do is he might blow on it. Just blowing on that smouldering wick. And what happens when you blow gently? It comes back to life. And I think I stand as testimony today as well that I have been that bruised reed. I have been that smouldering wick. He has not crushed me. And he has not snuffed me out. Yes, he's convicted me of sin. He's gently, gently, gently brought me restoration. But he brings me to that place when I need it. And last week, I was watching X Factor. And if you want me to come round on a Saturday night, I'm more than happy. It'd be lovely to watch X Factor with you. And after that, I was full of, I don't know, I just really felt this real sense to pray. And it doesn't always come to me quite like that. But it was just like a real urgency. And I think it's living in Lamplugh House. It's just like an open heaven. You just feel, oh, I've got to pray. So I started praying. And I was really praying for the Sunday morning. And goodness gracious, it came upon me. I'm surprised I had a voice to speak or sing on Sunday morning. But three kind of things really came to me last week. And it came to me again as I was sitting there watching that awesome video, DVD. And it came back to me again then that there were people here that were suicidal. And there were people that were in despair, complete despair. Just didn't know what way to turn, didn't know what to do. And they just didn't want to be here anymore, quite honestly. I've been there, I know what that's like. You're in a crowd of people, but you still don't want to live. It's not nice. And you don't know how to get out of it. And then I found myself praying that he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And he'll turn the hearts of the children to their fathers. And let me just quickly read that to you in Malachi. If I can find it. It says, and he shall turn the reconcile the hearts of the estranged fathers to the ungodly children, and the hearts of the rebellious children to their fathers, a reconciliation produced by the repentance of the ungodly. God wants to do that. It may be that we've not had great relationships with our fathers or with our mothers, or we may not have a father or mother that we know of. It may be that, you know, our hearts are really, without meaning to, maybe, or maybe we're meaning to, we're holding grudges, we're holding unforgiveness, and we just can't let it go. And the other people I kind of really felt of was praying for was women who have lost children. And women who have lost children in a number of ways, but especially in the womb, as a result of miscarriage or abortion. And in that place, I just really felt, and I was praying for this, people were just blaming themselves. And they'd not received complete forgiveness from God, and they'd not forgiven themselves. And at the end of the film, I just got to my knees last week, and I was just praying for these people, really praying for whoever it was here that that God would really meet with them, and that they would know his forgiveness, that they would know his healing, emotional healing, that they would know restoration. I want to just read out to you Psalm 34, verse 18, and it says, the Lord is close to those whose hearts are breaking. Yes. That is so true. Yes. He rescues those who are humbly sorry for their sins. If we can just put up that last verse that we sang. Here I am, humbled by your majesty. You know, you're massive, great and ginormous, and I'm humbled. I'm just not even a speck on that golf ball, not even a dust. And I'm covered by your grace so free. What is grace? Grace is something that we're given when we don't deserve it. And he just gives it and gives it and gives it and gives it. And you can think, oh, I'm just not worthy. I'm not worthy. I'm a little worm. You know, that may be true. But God completely lavishes his love on you and his grace on you, and he does it freely. And it says, here I am, knowing I'm a sinful man. This woman knew she was a sinful man, sinful woman. You know, I sung that this morning and I thought, God, I'm so sinful. And I know that. But I know that I come to you in repentance with just a humble heart, and you just fill me with love. And I'm covered by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus died on the cross so that you could be forgiven, so that you don't have to go around with all this sin and be, you know, kind of pulled down by all that weights you. That's why he died. And it's the power in his blood that does that. He shed his blood for you. So I'm just going to close by praying and hand over to Paul. Lord, I just want to thank you for your word today. Father, I want to thank you that you know us completely. I thank you that you know every hair on our head, Lord. I thank you that you hem us in behind and before. Lord, I thank you that nothing happens to us that you are not aware of. Nothing. You see all things, Lord. You know the states of our hearts. And Lord, you come with those restoration arms and you come and lift us up. You stoop down into that miry pit and you lift us out and you set our feet on solid ground. Lord, I thank you that you set our feet on solid ground. And then you just want to encourage us. You want to blow on us. You want to bring that light back into our lives. Father, I thank you that you will not crush us and you will not snuff us out, Lord. You just want to love on us. I praise you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Joanne. Praise God. I think you should give Joanne a round of applause, actually. There was a lot of good stuff there, wasn't there? What do you wear to church? Hallelujah. No, it's not what you wear. It's whether you wear humility. Yeah? It's whether you're wearing love. Whether you're wearing compassion. That's what we wear to church. We come with humble hearts to God. I'd like the worship team to come up and for us all to stand, because we're going to just respond, I think, to that word. Hallelujah. God's good. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Listen, I'm going to give you an opportunity, I think, to respond to that word. The thing about that lady was that she knew that to everybody that looked at her and to God, she was totally unacceptable. But she knew that there was a love that reached out beyond that unacceptance. There was a love that reached beyond the sinfulness. There was a love that reached beyond a life that had gone completely astray. She was a prostitute. You know, that's not following God's plan. That's going completely against what God had for her. It's going her way completely. And yet she knew, maybe she saw something in the eyes of Jesus. She knew that here was forgiveness. I mean, she was an amazing woman because she knew this before the cross. She knew without anybody teaching her that here was forgiveness. And the reason it's there, that story in the gospel, is to remind every single person on the planet that no matter who you are, where you are, what you've done, what you've not done, what you forgot to do, what you left out, the times you've been unloving, the times you've been uncaring, the times that you have sinned, that woman is there to remind you, I can come right before the feet of Jesus, and he won't just sort of say, who are you? He'll actually point you out to those who will be around who think they're right and say, have you seen this woman? Have you seen this woman? There's another way as well of saying that. When he said, have you seen this woman? You can hear. Can you hear almost the admiration and the pride he's got for his new daughter? You know, have you seen this woman? She knows what to do. Have you seen her? You didn't know what to do. But yeah, have you seen this woman? You know, have you seen her? She's one of mine. You know, and that's how God responds when we come to him. He doesn't sort of, you've blown it again, haven't you? How many times do you expect me to forgive you? He just says, have you seen my daughter? Have you seen my son? Look, they know what to do. Yeah, they've blown it, but they've come for forgiveness. Yeah, they've come for forgiveness, and you get forgiveness, and you get cleaned up and washed clean. And that verse in the Majesty song, Here I Am Humbled, we're just going to sing that through a few times, if I can get my teeth back in. And we're going to give an opportunity for you. I'm going to make it very open this morning because I just feel it's that way. Some of you will want to come down the front maybe and just kneel on the floor. Some of you might want to come and stand along the front here because you want someone to pray with you. Or some might just want to respond where you are. How are you going to respond to a word like Joanne's just preached? How are you going to respond? Well, you're saying, yep, Lord, I've been thinking I'm not good enough for you. And now you've realized, when you think, I'm not good enough for God, or I don't think God could accept me, the only thing that's getting in the way is your pride. That you would say that your sin is too big for him to handle. And actually he's there to say, have you seen my son? Have you seen my daughter? That's the only response you're going to get from him. One of admiration that you know how to respond to his grace, to his mercy. Amen. So I'm just going to leave it open. You might want to respond just where you are. You might want to come forward and kneel down, lie down. You might want to stand up. If you're standing here at the front, we'll pray for you. Okay? That's how we're going to run it. We're not going to do this for very long, just 5 minutes or so. If you've got something that's really, really been troubling you and bugging you for some time, I think the best thing there Where's Chris? You're the welcome team this morning, aren't you? If you come down the front here, Chris. Yeah. This is Chris, who's looking after the welcome team on Sunday. Just talk to Chris as well, and he'll hook you up with people in the welcome team and hook you up with Martin, people in the pastoral team, or just hook you up with someone who can be a friend to you. Because sometimes it's not just a quick prayer, is it? Sometimes you want someone to walk with you after this, yeah? And that's what we're about, loving one another and walking with one another. And maybe no one's been walking with you, and you just want this morning someone to come and walk with you. Well, talk to Chris, Martin will help him out, and someone will come and walk with you. Amen? We've got a wonderful pastoral team here who are anxious just to walk with everybody. Hallelujah. Now let's just sing that, and that's it. That's all we're going to do, and you can respond. I'm not going to say anything else, okay? Don't be waiting for me to say, now you can come. You just respond. Where you are, here at the front, whatever you know will help you in your walk with Him. Amen?
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.